Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Get early access to Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year. 25% off the i8 bed, the most popular, plus free home delivery, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Are you feeling more fulfilled now that you're back to work?
On August 15th.
No, I need a vacation.
See the movie that critics are saying is an awesome.
Look at that.
Crowd pleasing. Fist pumping. All-out brawl of a film.
You're right about that.
They're coming after our family. Go fix this.
Oh, my.
Nobody 2. Rated R. Only in theaters August 15th.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer?
Ready.
As he steps on the field to start week one for the New York Giants.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Russell Wilson, not a Hall of Famer.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
CJ Jefferson, would you care to chime in on this subject matter as well?
No.
Earlier on the show, Prime Video NFL analyst Andrew Whitworth, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. Coming up, Bears senior writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Mary Kay Cabot and Kevin Fishbane, who cover the Browns and Bears respectively, are going to be back-to-back right in the middle of this third hour of the program to give us updates on what's going on in both of these spots. Great conversations already with Andrew Whitworth, Mike Mayock, also between us. My latest power rankings have hit. Check that out if you haven't already missed it when we re-air on the Roku channel, or there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, or there's the podcast version of this show, all 3 hours available through our friends at Cumulus. We greatly appreciate everybody checking that out. The phone lines are lit. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. So, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's been a lot of talk of Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I'm in the middle of all of it in terms of you talk about it too much, talk about him too much. I'm a little biased. I've known him since he was a little kid. And one of my favorite people on the planet is his dad. So. And I can't wait to see what happens Friday night when the Browns take on the Carolina Panthers and, you know, obviously tune in to NFL Network for all the latest on all of that. Because, you know, the network is as hot as it gets once preseason action hits. And that starts Thursday night. But this is a big Friday night. The fact that we hear, like, why wasn't he drafted? How did he drop all those spots? I mean, that was the story of the draft. I've said it before, I've said it again. I do not recall in all of the 20-plus years I've been doing the draft, a story that starts from pick one and goes all the way into day three. Mm-hmm. Never seen it before, and it happened this time around in Green Bay. And the fact that Shedeur was taken in the fifth round, And part of the reason why the Browns said they took him was a value that they associated with him for being chosen in the fifth round. And that value became, a reality in part because the Browns were one of the many teams that kept passing on him and took another passer in Dillon Gabriel in front of him. And they had already gotten Kenny Pickett in the fold and Joe Flacco was there. And how is this all going to work? And then you hear, Shador's behind, fourth on the depth chart. Albert Breer has said multiple times on this program, including just yesterday, that, he was the one that came in the most green. And some of this stuff just doesn't add up. Not saying his reporting is off. He's the one who was in Cleveland. He's the one talking to everybody. I mean, obviously, he's got way more knowledge about this thing, boots on the ground, than I would. But, I mean, Pat Shurmur was his OC. It's not like he's not going to get him ready for the pros. And what do you think? Dion was not going to get his son ready for the pros? Like, that he's... But, I mean, Albert was saying it's stuff like calling the plays and doing the mechanics and the huddle and all that sort of business, which does happen to a lot of first-year quarterbacks as well. But be that as it may, for whatever reason, I mean, Joe Flacco, as we all know, is... top of the flow chart. I do believe he's going to be a week one starter. He does give them the best chance to win. He is a guy who won comeback player of the year with this coach and this system just 2 years ago and all that business. Kenny Pickett lost some time with an injury and the same thing with Dillon Gabriel. Whatever the reason, Shador Sanders is going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns on Friday night. And it appears he's going to play most of the game. Kevin Stefanski on this announcement, making it official when it popped free, on the Twitterverse and everything else yesterday.
On the game itself, we got game Friday night coming up. We'll rest some starters. Some players will play. Obviously holding out some guys due to injury. As you know, and then we'll play Shador at quarterback. We just signed Snoop Huntley, as you guys saw. We'll see. Get Snoop back up to speed quickly. He's been in a couple different offenses since we last saw him, so he's doing a great job of working at it. But it's a great opportunity for all of our young players in that football game. But with that, I'll take any questions. We're going to work through it, Tony. I mean, Snoop just got here yesterday, so I just want to see how he's doing with the terminology and all those type of things.
Is there any chance that anybody other than those two
no.
play?
Yeah, at quarterback?
At quarterback?
No.
I mean, what a massive opportunity. Say what you will about preseason. I get it. But if you had told me coming out of the draft, right, that through the OTAs and everything else, Shador Sanders was going to start the first preseason game and be the guy. I don't care about those other injuries or anything like that sort of thing. And Snoop Huntley, again, just got there. So I don't know when you're going to put him in, late third, early fourth, just to throw things out there. If you had told me Shador Sanders was going to start and be the guy and not have to look over his shoulder, is Flacco coming in? Is Dillon Gabriel there? Is Kenny Pickett there? What a massive opportunity. Massive. Show everyone you can call the plays. Show everyone you can see the protections. Because there's going to be some grown-ass men out there for the Carolina Panthers in front of their home fans who want to show out too. I don't care about preseason, what your thoughts are about it. This is it. What a massive chance for him. I would have signed for that on the spot if I was a Sanders family for Shador or whatever. Certainly with, him speeding a couple times and putting himself at risk of not having this opportunity. Well, this is huge. I couldn't be happier for him. Now, proof's going to come out in the pudding. We're going to see it. And let him show that I can hit my back foot and I can read this and I can do that and I can... ball out. And I don't want to hear like, oh, he was going against people who are going to be working in the Home Depot in 3 weeks. Because they're trying to make teams. Yeah. And Dave Canales is not doing this just to put the Panthers out there to test Shador Sanders. He's testing his own people. This is a competition. This is as high of a competition as you can get for, August 8th massive. What an opportunity. Doesn't have to look over his shoulder. He's not wondering who's coming in. You got this, kid. You got it. I love it.
Well, he doesn't have to wonder because they can't come in.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're hurt, and you can't put Joe Flacco out there because what if he suffers a serious injury?
Well, he's going to be in pajamas.
Now you're screwed for week one.
He'll be in pajamas,
yeah,
as they say. That's Mariucci's phrase for not dressing someone.
I can't imagine that Huntley plays at all if he just got there yesterday.
I can't imagine it either. Let him go. Let him go.
Yeah, let him throw it.
And I feel
40 times.
I feel for Dylan Gabriel that he's
it sucks
that he's hurt.
Yeah,
and Pickett, or he got hurt and they decide to be behind. And you could sit here and say, well, those are the three they don't want to get hurt. So, you know, way to talk about Shador again, Rich, because this indicates that he's got no chance. They're not going to have four quarterbacks on a roster in their final 53. And so they're protecting the three that they really like right now. And they're using Shador as cannon fodder. I don't believe it. And if I'm Shador Sanders and I'm the rest of everybody in his circle, I'm thinking, this is it. This is what you wanted.
But even if what you said is true, he can at least go out there and show that it's not.
That's
right. And he deserves to be ahead of the other guys.
Hell yeah.
So,
and he could actually zoom in front of him. Let's go. Yeah. Be accurate. Be smart.
Your best ability is availability.
Availability.
And these guys are unavailable.
I love it. I couldn't be happier about this development. Even though, obviously, that it's not great for the other ones who aren't in. I'm sure Pickett wants to get out there. I'm sure Gabriel wants to get out there. And I'm sure Flacco is even itching about it. This is what Joe had to say about this.
Oh, it'll be interesting. I think we'll all be, you know, sitting there watching and be excited for, you know, football to be going real time. And I think he's probably excited about that, too. I mean, your first time to go in the NFL, I remember mine. I mean, I didn't get to play until the last 2 minutes of the game, but it's something that he'll remember forever. I mean, you know, most of us have dreamt about this moment, you know, since we were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So for him to get a chance to go out there and actually take the field, even though it's preseason, you know, we're all going to be on the sidelines and at home and enjoying it. So,
okay. Miles Garrett was asked about it, too. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the way if I was Miles Garrett, this is the way I would show up to the podium.
Every single time.
Shirtless.
This is insane if you haven't seen this video yet.
All right, Roland.
It's funny. He's optimistic, lighthearted. But he works hard. You know, he takes it seriously, his craft, and he's watching what the others are doing and you know, doing it his own way in which only he can. So, you know, looking forward to see him, you know, during these preseason games and you know, how he know, manages the offense, but I think he looks good, but all the guys look good right now.
Yeah, I'd say that. I can agree. They all look good.
I didn't hear a word he said.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Does he have to cross his arms too?
So his biceps just look even bigger?
I mean, that's fine enough. And then he crosses his arms. You know, just to... What was he talking about?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Somebody playing hard and trying.
What sport is this?
And protein shakes. And
that's the way I would show up reps. Every damn time.
Questions, anyone?
Nope.
Good God.
I don't need to get a shirt on.
If I was him, the only shirt I owned would be a tank, and that would let me get into 7-Eleven because you have to have,
right,
a, shirt
have, to have
on.
A shirt on.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Right, yeah. Right. I don't think he's getting too many Slurpees, though. Right.
Maybe water.
I think it's all natural. Whatever's going on. Listen,
honey packet.
I'm loving it. There, it's going to support him. He's going to feel hopefully, and he's got you know. And it is on Shador to take the advantage of this opportunity because it is that. And I'm again, just to put a point on it. Say what you will about preseason. I get it, but for these people who are trying to make a team, it means the world. And they are going to compete, man. And Shador has an opportunity. If again, I told you after he dried himself off jumping in that pool to celebrate finally getting drafted. Mm-hmm. If I had said on the draft set he's going to play every snap of preseason week one, I bet you, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis would have said, good. Because he's going to need the reps, and I'm glad that means the Browns are going to give him the opportunity. Now, Joe Klatt might have said something different, but I wouldn't know because he left. As he always does after night two. Come on, Joe. No, but he would say the same thing. These reps are as crucial as it gets. And it's awesome. I can't wait to see what he does with it. Now we come on the air on Monday and say, boy, that wasn't great. And he puts himself in a tougher position to make this team. But I don't think that's the way he's going to go into this opportunity. 844-204-RICH, number down. We come back, we'll take your calls. Mary Kay Cabot is in Carolina. She will join us for the latest on what's going on behind the scenes there. And then Kevin Fishbane will join us as well from The Athletic to tell us what's going on with Caleb in Chicago. And your phone calls. That's how we're rolling here in hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. We've got your phone calls and that much more in a moment. Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial, because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like, and it gives you your best night's sleep, night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference, because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Sue's. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Get early access to Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year. 25% off the i8 bed, the most popular, plus free home delivery, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
Back here on the program, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. Let's go to Tim in Arizona. What's up, Tim?
Timmy. Two different Tims there.
The last line, line five. Everybody, what's up, Timmy?
Scataboo to you, Rich.
Good Scataboo day to you too. Is he okay? I heard he was banged up. Right, it's apparently okay. We got to get him all right. The Plinko chip at the New York Giants. What's going on, Tim?
Okay,
good.
Hey, my statement is why not Mayock? I had called in and did the win loss game with Susie.
Okay.
For the Colts.
Okay.
A couple of days prior to Jim passing away, but at that time I did mention to Chris about the importance of that first game against Miami. That was going to be an important first game anyway, and I mentioned to Chris that they were going to lose that game and that Jim is going to hire Brad Stevens as the new GM. I would have loved that to happen, but obviously that's not going to happen, and rest in peace, Jim. But here's the deal. We still need to play football, and football's still a business. Ballard cannot lose that first game. He needs to be fired when he does.
Ooh, oh, my God. Here's what's not going to happen, Tim, is the firing of a general manager after the first game of the season. That's just not going to happen. Now, the issue is, obviously, you know, and I appreciate the caping from Mike, who I adore. And thanks for the call, Tim. I appreciate it. Call back anytime.
See you, Tim.
I'll return to what I always say with the Indianapolis Colts when there's a conversation, right? Is we just don't know Jim Irsay's daughter, who is taking over as the primary owner of the Colts. We don't know her level of patience, what she's going to do in terms of her involvement. And that's always a wild card when there's an ownership change, even if it's the same family. We just do not know, but that won't happen after week one. We're going to have back-to-backers shortly here. Mary Kay Cabot is going to be joining us covering Cleveland sports and the Browns. And then Kevin Fishbane, we'll check in with him about what's going on. All we hear is that Caleb Williams drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
And, you know, is he handling everything? And
the bad practice video getting put out there.
I mean,
it wasn't good.
I know. Well, they set up these nets, right? That
the nets with the three spots.
Right.
And you throw into the spots. And
he missed
went
them all.
Over. And
I
then,
got
and
it.
Then walked off and he looked very,
I know.
Very pouty and the bad body language.
Bad body. So what?
I don't know. You can't say so what.
I mean, you can say so what because it's just like
the,
so
he's
what.
He's the quarterback. He's the leader of the team. You can't be out there pouting.
Well, I mean, he was also maybe in a competition. Just got upset about it. You get upset about things, don't you?
I do. I'm not the quarterback of this team.
Well, I understand what you're saying on that front.
Yeah. So
the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns on Friday night is going to be Shedeur Sanders, joining us right now from the joint practice of the Browns. And the Carolina Panthers is none other than Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Browns insider. Good to see you again, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Rich?
Can you walk me through the decision here? What do you got for me?
Well, it wasn't all that difficult considering they don't want to play 40-year-old Joe Flacco, even though he's the only quarterback in this competition who has not missed a rep, a snap, a drill because of some soreness or injury. Ironically enough. And then you've got Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel both dealing with hamstring injuries. So it was almost an attrition thing. And then also Tyler Huntley joined the team just yesterday. So Shedeur it is, and he will be starting against the Panthers tomorrow. He's not going to have, on Friday night, he's not going to have a lot of first teamers with him in this battle. Because they're just going to hold a lot of those guys out. But for the most part, he will, he's just going to have to go out there and play some against the first team Panthers defense.
Well, it sounds like it's going to play a lot, right? I mean, and when you say first team Panthers defense, that's the sum. It just depends on how long they're going to keep their starters in, because if Stoop Huntley just got there, this looks like it's going to be Shador's show, which is a massive opportunity. I think this is a massive opportunity for him. And the question is his readiness, because the conversation I hear about Shedeur sitting at this desk is that he was the one most behind of anybody coming into this competition. And now he can go out and prove either A, that wasn't true, or B, it doesn't matter. Mary?
Well, I think the thing about Shedeur is that he's a gamer, and I think he's going to go out in this game, and I think he's going to perform well, like he did in college. I think that when the lights come on, he's at his best. He even basically said that when we talked to him the other day, that have you watched me in college and do you know what you're dealing with here? So he's pretty confident going into this game. Now, once again, the thing to keep in mind is the fact that he will be working with the second teamers and some third teamers against the Panthers defense, first teamers, especially at least for the first 8 to 12 plays or so. I think that's what Dave Canales is going to do with his starters. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes for the first couple of series. But the thing that Shedeur has done very well in practice, he's shown off his accuracy. That's his superpower in this competition. He led the FBS with a 74% completion percentage last year, and that has shown up in camp. The thing that he's had to work on and catch up on is all the pre-snap stuff that you have to do before you actually get to make that pass.
Okay, so walk me through that. What's that learning curve been, and why do you think that's the case? Mary Kay?
Well, I really just think that, you know, just in terms of calling the plays in the huddle and doing some of those things, he didn't necessarily have to do the graduate level stuff in college that some other quarterbacks do, depending on what kind of system that they're coming out of. So his transition to the pro game and some of those things was just a little bit steeper, that learning curve. But they've been bringing him up to speed. They've been spending extra time with him on those kinds of things. It takes a long time to figure out a terminology and to get that play called in the huddle as fast as you possibly can, and to ID and to slide the protections and call the motions and all those kinds of things. So he's really coming up the learning curve very, very well. But those are the kinds of things that he had to catch up on a little bit.
Where do things stand with Pickett and Dylan Gabriel right now, Mary Kay Cabot?
Right now, they are both dealing with hamstring injuries. It's so ironic. I've been asking Joe about this. How is the 40-year-old guy the only one that hasn't missed a snap? But Kenny and Dylan have those hamstrings, and they're not going to play in this game. They're not doing 11-on-11s right now. They didn't do them today in practice. They're limited to 7-on-7s. They're taking it easy with these guys. And this team is heading off to Philadelphia next week for two practices there and a game there. I don't see how you play Kenny Pickett in that game either if you're trying to get him to the season healthy. So in my mind, it's starting to look like Joe's job. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, so the idea of bringing four into 53 is not going to happen, right? Mary Kay?
No, I think it is going to happen.
You do?
I think, yes, I do. I think all four of these quarterbacks are going to make the team. I really do think that it's going to be a matter of Joe and Kenny getting things started off for this football team. And then I know that the Browns would love to see, if they can, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in some live action at some point this season, because they have decisions to make next year. They've got two first round picks. It's a rich QB class, and they're going to want to see what they have in Dylan and Shedeur. So at some point, I think they'll turn it over to the rookies.
Mary Kay Cabot, a few minutes left here with the Cleveland Browns insider, covered the Browns for over 30 years here on the Rich Eisen Show. What else is happening with the Browns that we're clearly not talking about because we're so focused on who the quarterback is?
Well, I'm going to stick with the quarterback room for another minute.
Okay.
So they brought in Tyler Huntley just yesterday. So he suited up, he practiced today, mm-hmm. and he will relieve Shedeur in this game. But then I looked out there today, and for the first time, I saw Deshaun Watson out there on the practice field, not in practice clothes, because he's on PUP, mm-hmm. and he is recovering from his retorn Achilles. But it was just weird to look out there and see six quarterbacks. You know the old saying, if you have six quarterbacks, you can have one.
Right.
But Deshaun Watson was out there, and that just is an interesting twist to this whole thing, because I know he's determined to play and he's determined to join the mix at some point. I don't know if the Browns will ever let him do that. He's on PUP right now. I don't think he'll be even healthy until October or November. But to look out there and to see five quarterbacks in uniform practicing, and then also Deshaun Watson, it was kind of a bizarre sight.
I'm sure. Let's just linger there for a second. And I guess, you know, the future at the quarterback position in Cleveland is exactly why somebody brought up Arch Manning to Jimmy and Dee Haslam the other day. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, as if who's starting week one and how do you get through the 18-game crucible of 2025 is not enough. You're looking over the steering wheel.
Well, yeah. In addition to watching all of these quarterbacks this year, mm-hmm. I really have to do something I usually don't have a lot of time to do, and that is hunker down and watch some college football on Saturdays, too. So that's going to be a big point of emphasis, of course, for the Browns this season, to see what Arch Manning is up to. Although when we asked Jimmy Haslam about him last week, he said he thinks Arch is going to stay in school for at least 2 years. And Jimmy would probably know, because he knows the Manning family,
yeah.
as you know, very, very well. So that's his prediction, that he might not be available to them. But it's not going to stop them from going to the games, from scouting him, and from being very ready to pull the trigger if they need to on Arch. So obviously he's one that they'll watch. They'll watch all of the others. And, you know, they're really going to have an eye on that 26 QB class.
How's my guy Mason Graham looking?
He's looking good so far.
Yeah, he looks really good.
it's fun to see him now in pads where he can really show his explosiveness. And the thing about Mason is that he's learning to do something that he didn't really do all that much at Michigan, and that is just see quarterback, get quarterback, just go for it. Oh. And, you know, just take the, you know, the leash off and go. So it's got to be pretty fun for him to be able to do that. The assignment is pretty clear.
I thought you meant losing in Ohio, because he didn't do that in college either, Mary Kay. I thought that's what you're referring to.
Of course you would point that out.
Sorry, I didn't mean to drag you to my level, Mary Kay. I didn't mean to do that. I mean, but thank you for the time. I greatly appreciate it. Let's do this again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, there's Mary Kay Cabot with the latest in Cleveland Browns. There I am, dragging other guests down to my level. Didn't do that in college either. Let me check that out. Oh, can confirm.
Wow. This guy. What's wrong with you, man?
That's your name.
O-H-N-O.
Oh, no.
All right, so I want to know the latest there. You got the latest. Deshaun Watson's out there saying, hey, don't forget about me.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Don't you forget about me, right?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Go Breakfast Club.
Don't get me started.
Don't sing.
Listen. Listen. No, I don't blame him, man. He's got to be just like itching to get out there. 100%. But he's not playing this. He's not playing this year. He's not playing. And it's going to be Flacco's gig. How about that? She says four quarterbacks are going to make it. That's an interesting way to put 53 men together.
That is, you know, I would advise against that, but yeah, I'm not running the team.
Okay, you're not.
Cut yourself a linebacker or something that you might need.
All right, another story I needed some insight on is the fact that right now Caleb Williams is in the social media barrel. Literally, if this guy is not tying his shoelaces right, everyone's saying, oh, he's a bust, and Ben Johnson's not going to fix him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if he throws an interception in practice or he's, you know, I don't know what that quarterback competition was where you got to throw it through these squares in a netting and he didn't nail any of them. And
I mean, I watched Hard Knocks last night. Josh Allen was perfect. He hit all of them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. Once again, good to see you again, Kevin. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Rich. How are you doing?
What was that game that they were playing where he's trying to throw in these squares into the netting and he didn't get one of them in? What was that, Kevin?
I mean, it could just be them trying to hit the target, could them be trying to hit the pole.
Okay.
You know, the poles that are around it. There's different things you can do with that.
Okay.
I mean, you could say that you got to love Caleb's competitive fire and the way that he reacted to losing that battle.
Okay.
You could take it whatever. It's a Rorschach test.
I know, right?
Like, I mean, but it's not you view Caleb.
Exactly. That's how you view it. Right. When you say Rorschach test, you mean the people who are viewing it, not how Caleb should be viewed. So give me the real. What is happening in the development of Caleb Williams year two, where the head coach has been brought in to take him to the heights that we saw Jaden Daniels taken to last year, to be blunt, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it's been bumpy. Like, you know, Ben Johnson told us on Sunday after the practice at Soldier Field that it was sloppy and that there were a bunch of delayed games. And, you know, we don't know exactly how much of that is on Caleb, but the quarterback's got to get the ball off. He's got to get that snap. And then they come back yesterday and they had this super competitive and physical practice. And Caleb was maybe as sharp as he's been all summer. And I wonder if just that competitive fire, not to mention just being a couple weeks into this, just got him in a rhythm where we saw some nice plays. Still, you know, a couple false starts, again, not on him necessarily. But, you know, I think you look back at Jared Goff, and it wasn't like Jared Goff was this instant sensation with Ben Johnson, when Ben Johnson eventually took over play calling there in Detroit. It's just this give and take, Rich, and you know this about quarterbacks around the league, like the patience level. Like, how patient should everybody be with Caleb Williams? Because, like, I'm sitting here, like, as an observer, I'm trying to be a little patient, understand it's a new offense, it's a new scheme. But there's the other part of me, and I can see it, and I can get how Chicago fans can see this. Like, they're like, we've been here before. You guys said this with Mitch Trubisky. You guys said this with Justin Fields to give it time and all that stuff. And then look what happened. So there's this nervousness in town, this tense feeling that after last year and seeing that camp maybe hasn't been as smooth as people maybe on the outside might have hoped, that everyone's worried. And so if he doesn't throw the ball to the net, suddenly it's panic time. But I'd like to see his play out. And I think, Rich, too, it's important to, like, put some trust in Ben Johnson, that Ben Johnson has been brought here to put Caleb in the best position to succeed. And Ben Johnson has proven that he can do that. And now we see if he can do it with someone as gifted as Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and you know, the Seth Wickersham book that created, I'm sure, quite the media storm in your world as well, Kevin, is about to, you know, hit stores, and that might renew conversations about last year. And I'm referring to Caleb Williams and his dad having issues about being drafted by Chicago that they eventually overcame. And then the issues that happened in his first year only seem to confirm their belief that this might not be the best spot for him. Ben Johnson, best you can tell, has at least shown the way to the film room, right? I mean, not to be flippant, but that's changed already, I imagine. Right, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a different tone. It's a different situation here. You know, I got a chance to talk to Caleb Williams early on in camp, and mm-hmm. you know, he kind of walked me through a little bit of his day to day, and you know, how early he was showing up to the building, got his notebook out, the things that he's doing. I mean, it seems to be doing what you would expect, and I think,
and that didn't happen last year. That was not what he was doing last year.
It depends who you talk to, Rich, because I don't know. You know, I never got the sense that this was like, this is the problem in this city with this position mm-hmm. that, like, you know, I think if you talk to people, maybe like Seth Wickersham did, that maybe the coaches weren't doing enough. And I think if you maybe talk to some people on that coaching staff, they might say, well, there's only so much we're supposed to do. You're a professional quarterback. You got to figure it out too. Either way, this guy, Ben Johnson, is the right guy to get all of this moving in the right direction. So I don't know exactly like what that film study was like last year, but I think that, again, there's going to be different stories based on who you talk to. Either way, we can all agree last year was a disaster. It was exactly what Carl Williams and Caleb Williams were worried about, as you said. And now you get to kind of start over. And I do think that quarterback room too, Rich, having Case Keenum in there, who's been in this league for a long time, and having Tyson Bagent in there, who is, you know, everybody loves the guy here as he battles Case Keenum for that backup quarterback job. I think it's a good composition in that room to kind of help Caleb Williams and get him where he needs to be.
Well, I mean, and the reason why I keep returning to the past, Kevin, is really that's the only way that we can try and figure out the future and to see how that's a prologue in any way, right? Because right now we're just seeing cut-ups on our phones where Caleb appears to be struggling more often than not. Whether that's fair or not, it probably isn't. But the idea is this coach the right guy to do it? Is this setup the right setup to do it? Is this roster as ready as we thought it was last year and has been improved on the line since then? And those are the only questions we have until we see the first Monday night game of the season in Soldier Field against, by the way, the Vikings, who won 14 games last year, and a quarterback who was chosen 9 picks later by the Minnesota Vikings getting his first shot. And if he comes out looking more polished, despite having, you know, obviously Justin Jefferson and other weapons around him, that's going to be, I think, front and center for the Tuesday after week two for you, Kevin, right? That's it.
I was going to say, Rich, you're going to have to do Overreaction Tuesday for that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Kevin Fish being talking our
language. Not to step on anyone's toes in your studio there.
I appreciate that.
Because you're right. I mean, that matchup, if J.J. McCarthy has a great game and if Caleb Williams doesn't have a great game, I cannot even imagine what the reaction is going to be in this city, in Minnesota, across, you know, the NFL. But, you know, it's part, you know, when you bring up the Ben Johnson element of it, and I'm saying this as someone who's on their fifth head coach as a beat reporter. And wow. Shoot, you just brought me on after Mary Kay. I don't even want to, I can't.
That's right.
You know, I can't compete
she's
with
holding
her.
Your beer, Kevin.
That's true. I don't want to compete with what she's had to deal with there. But if Ben Johnson's not the right coach, it's like you kind of sit there and be like, well, who could be? I mean, this guy is everything that this team has wanted, everything that multiple teams have wanted. And I like to, like, I do wonder, Rich, like, Ben Johnson, he's detailed, details. And how does that work with Caleb Williams, who does some amazing things off script? But the thing about Caleb Williams is he does want to be in the pocket. He wants to sit there in the pocket and get the snap and go and make, you know, make his reads, go through his progressions. And last year he was out of the pocket a lot because of the offensive line in front of him, and a lot because he would maybe exit too early. So I just think that you always hear coaches say, I am going to tailor this game plan to my players. I'm not going to make them just fit what I want to do. And look, you just hope that Ben Johnson seems like the guy who's going to do that, who understands that, who's going to help put him in his position. He's got this offensive line now with Joe Tooney and Drew Dahlman and Jonah Jackson in front of him in the interior. Mm-hmm. You have Colson Loveland, who, by the way, you talk about guys who have looked pretty good at camp, Rich, and I don't know if you're familiar with this Colson Loveland.
Yes, sir.
You know, went to a decent university I'm familiar with. He's looked good. And you can see why the Bears would have want him in this offense, because of the target he's going to give to Caleb Williams. And he's smooth in and out of his routes, and he catches everything thrown his way. So there's a lot to like about this. But I go back to the top, Rich. It's that level of patience. And is it fair to look at this as like, okay, you're starting over, Caleb Williams. I know it's your second year, but it's the NFL. Like, it's just so hard to be patient with these guys now. And you look at the roster around Caleb Williams and you look at what he did in college. You want him to just take off with Ben Johnson. And it's going to be a very interesting season to see what that relationship's like. Because as I said, training camp has not been super smooth, but maybe it shouldn't be, because this is a brand new, very detail-oriented scheme that he's got to figure out the same way Jared Goff did.
Hmm. So when do we see him? Do we see him in preseason at all? Or the first time we see Caleb in this is Monday Night Football, week one? What do you think?
I originally thought, Rich, that the joint practices would be, you know, Ben Johnson's got two of them lined up. You got Miami coming on Friday,
right?
Buffalo a week from Friday. And it certainly seems like those joint practices are going to be so intense that they might not need to see him in the preseason game. I think he should get out there for a couple series. I mentioned the delay games that we've seen in camp, the mm-hmm. false starts we've seen. I just think they need to get the operation figured out in a game setting. And they're going to do their best to simulate that in joint practices. But I think it's fair to try to do that at Soldier Field a couple times as well. So I don't think we'll see him a ton, because it just doesn't see, it seems like Ben Johnson puts a lot in these joint practices. But I think you got to get him out there just for a couple series in those games.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the information and the idea. Chris Brockman, Overreaction Tuesday. We'll set that up.
Well, of course, we do Monday on a Tuesday anyway during the
race. Yeah. I mean, I guess so that would be September 9th. Write it down. Thank you for the idea, Kevin. We'll write that down and we'll chat again real soon.
All right. Take care.
And by the way, I look forward to appearing on your pod. I'll do that later in the month. I know that we've been going back and forth. I look forward to returning the favor.
Appreciate that, Rich.
You got it. That's Kevin Fishbane, everybody. He's been with the Athletics since 2017. He's been there, done that. Seen five
head coaches. Jeez.
I've even forgotten who they would be. I mean, obviously, Ben Johnson, Eberflus.
Nagy.
Who's prior to Nagy? John Fox, right? Foxy?
Oh, man.
Are you going back to Foxy? My gosh.
Well, I'm looking this up now.
I mean, Bears fans are probably screaming at their radio or televisions right now. What'd you say?
I said Mike Ditka.
Okay.
Yeah, Fox and Trestman.
You're still trying to jump
Trestman
your battery
was 2014.
Over there.
Hey,
what'd you say?
Trestman was 2014.
Rude.
Well, he's been the Athletic since 2017, but if he goes back to 2014, right?
Yeah, well, 2017 was Fox's last year.
So it's Trestman, Fox, Nagy.
Now, it would have just been, for Fishbane, it would have been Fox, Nagy, Eberflus, and then...
Well, you said it's five, so he goes back to Trestman.
Thomas Brown, interim.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. Caleb Williams had a new situation in the pros where apparently they're like, you're a pro, you need to figure this out yourself. He needed some help. He wasn't getting it. And the offensive coordinator gets bounced. Then the coach gets bounced. Then the new offensive coordinator, who had never been an OC before and a play caller before, is apparently your new OC. And then now he's the new HD in interim. You know, that ain't working. So now here comes Ben Johnson. And we will see. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. All of the storylines, right? All of them.
That week one game is so good.
The Monday nighter, right?
Yes,
the finish.
So good.
Vikings at Bears, division game, 14-win team with the reigning coach of the year,
yep.
The quarterback whisperer with a kid who is yet to do it, had the same draft
And then the same draft class as Caleb Williams
that year.
Right.
Yeah, it's so good.
And now Caleb has got a fresh start. Yeah. JJ McCarthy, fresh start. Here we go together. Ben Johnson, KOC. Two play callers who are apparently, not apparently, who industry-wide considered one of the best.
Yep.
What a first game for ESPN on Monday Night Football, ABC and everybody else.
You say you'll never join the Navy.
Never climb Mount Fuji on a port visit.
Or break the sound barrier.
Joining the Navy sounds crazy. Saying never actually is. Learn why at Navy.com. America's Navy, forged by the sea.
You say you'll never join the Navy. That living on a submarine would be too hard. You'd never power a whole ship with nuclear energy. Never bring a patient back to life.
Here.
Or play the national anthem for a sold-out crowd. Joining the Navy sounds crazy. Saying never actually is. Start your journey at Navy.com. America's Navy, forged by the sea.
Grab your phone and do me a favor.
Yes.
I don't unlock it, but show us what do you have as
what's unlocked already.
What's your lock screen on your phone? Is it a picture? What's it of?
Yeah, hold up. Let me show you. It's a biggie.
Oh, we got biggie. We got biggie. Good one. And then question. I'm assuming, do you normally do your Face ID?
I do not.
You don't do Face ID?
Oh.
You know, this man's wasting hours of his life every day. Is it a six-digit code or four digits?
The unlock is four.
Four? That's not that secure. All right, you know what? You know what? I was going to do the ATM, but I like the challenge right here.
Okay.
Before I come over there, I see you got some. Rub the fingerprints off. Haters always tell me later, fingerprints. Gotta be fingerprints. I'm coming over for a second.
Oh my goodness.
Can I get in close. The shot?
I might swing.
What is happening?
Oh, careful.
All right. Can we see Biggie? Can we get a close-up shot?
Let's see if we get
there. Is the jib? Somebody's getting in tight. Tight. There we go.
All right, let me hear you.
I got it. I go here. It's locked. He wasn't lying. Hold out your finger. Think of the first number.
Of my code?
Yeah, not my code, unless okay. You're a mentalist. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Okay. I thought of it.
No, I know you did. I'm trying to figure it out. Think of the next number. Does it get bigger? Does it get smaller? Same. Does it move over? Right, left? Oh, look at you not moving. Look at you not flinching. Think of the second number, third number. Okay, hold up. This is just like in the movies when you see somebody trying to crack a lock, pick a lock, but instead of hearing the click, I can feel in his body. Think of the last number. TJ, what do I know about TJ? Open your eyes.
They weren't closed.
TJ.
Are they supposed to be closed?
TJ, no, you're good. Oh. You're good. You gave it away with your eyes. I can see in your soul. I think he likes to get in and out of the phone quick. You have a four-digit code. You got to type this in a million times a day, no Face ID. You're doing a code that you can do quick. Do you care if they find out your code?
I'll change it if they.
All right. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to show them. The first number is a one. Can we get tighter just so we can see this?
Let's get in there. There it is.
The next number is a six. Kidding. Look at his face, how he got. Look at that. You went back to the one. Can you see me close? That's the two. We're inside his.
Oh!
He's gone.
Oh.
Do not pack up. Come on.
You're not going to see him again today, folks. Sorry. He literally, this guy's out. He's out.
TJ Jefferson running a wheel route off the Rich Eisen Show Super Bowl set in New Orleans, Louisiana is one of my favorite moments and a perfect opportunity to tell everybody you must tune in to Thursday's Rich Eisen Show in hour number three when our in-studio guest here in Los Angeles, California is Oz the Mentalist.
Hey.
Returning to this program, TJ Jefferson's favorite warlock is back in his world tomorrow. We do not know what he's coming, what he's got planned. We don't know the caper. We don't know the Lufthansa heist he's got working on.
Sick tomorrow.
No, you're not.
You don't know I could catch
him. I know your loaner car is going to have a new battery.
Yeah,
it's
the other
fine.
Car is going to break down.
Wait a minute. Oh, my arm. Oh.
You never know.
Ooh, we got a flat tire.
Oh, my God. Mila's car needs a new carburetor.
It doesn't, but.
Oh, no.
Evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Let's go.
I can't wait. God, that's going to be amazing. Great show.
Funny show.
Great show. Level of concern, 1-2, hair on fire of the Chicago Bears quarterback offense situation. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, 1-10. Hair on fire is 10. Christopher?
None of us have hair.
6.
TJ Jefferson?
5.
I'm lower than that. I'm lower than that.
Zero evidence to be lower than that.
I have zero evidence to be lower than that. Ben Johnson alone is going to be an upgrade for the kid. Alone.
There's no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
Alone. And say what you will about Caleb Williams, and a lot of people do. He's given every indication he wants to be coached hard. And don't forget, last year, the crucible of last year, the dreadfulness of last year, everything that was going on behind the scenes where everything that had happened had given credence to all the concerns he and his dad had prior to the draft. All of that was happening. Getting his ass beat. And he said nothing. There wasn't a single flash at a press conference where it was, woe is me, feel bad for me. Never once did he give you an indication of, you have no idea what's going on around here. And me and my dad and I, we knew it. We didn't want to be here, but we did. And look at it now. I'm right. Everybody else is around here wrong. How many people in this world today, not to get writ large, but I will, it seems part and parcel of our world, it's never somebody's fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's always, look what's being done to me. It is a culture of grievance that we live in right now for so many people. From leadership on down, a lack of accountability of my bad, or yes, this was done improperly. I will admit this is not the way it should be done. I will admit it's not the way that we do things, but I'll, my bad. And this kid, 1,000,000% had every right to say, it's not my fault, folks. And he never once did it. So here comes a guy who's going to coach him hard and give him a whole ton of stuff. And I will just ignore a lot of these videos. Will it happen during the season? Yes. But does that mean he's toast? He's finished? I'm confident that this guy, Ben Johnson, is the right guy. And the Bears are getting it right. And they got talented people. The line is improved, right? And the light is going to be on a little bit better for Caleb Williams. You just got to get him playing faster. Got to get him playing more confident. And let's see the off-script stuff. Like, that's what got him a Heisman in many ways.
True.
And Ben can scheme it up. And let's hope he coaches it up. And the kid's taking the coaching. He took the beating last year. Beating. And a lot of the beating that he took was something that he saw coming. And he never once said, I saw it coming, and wore it on his sleeve. And he also didn't do that there either. It was Justin Fields. So I'll read into it with Caleb Williams that this is going to work out. I'll give it a number of 3. Okay. 2.5 to 3. A solid rating. We'll chat in a second to wrap it up on Roku.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.